and welcome to the Old Time Radio Hour. I'm your host, Justine Ward, and each week we bring you a classic show from radio's golden age. This week we have more homespun humor with Lum and Abner. First, we have a career change for Abner when he decides to open an advice bureau. A radio scout decides to put him on the radio as a real hillbilly spouting rustic wisdom. You will enjoy the in-jokes about being in a radio studio and also the plot twist of Abner's radio career. The Lum and Abner Show, Abner's Advice Bureau, first broadcast March 20th, 1949 on CBS.
My granny's, Abner. I believe that's our ring. Bridget Air presents the new Lum and Abner Show. Tonight, Bridget Air, a division of General Motors, brings you a brand new kind of visit with those old characters down in Pine Ridge. Featuring Clarence Hartzell as Ben Withers, the music of Felix Mills, and starring your old favorites, Lum and Abner. America's number one refrigerator is Frigidaire. Yes, any way you look at it, America's number one refrigerator is Frigidaire. Number one in popularity. For more Frigidaire refrigerators serve in more American homes than any other make. Number one in thrilling new advantages, as you can see for yourself at any Frigidaire dealers. And number one in dependability. For Frigidaire refrigerators are made only by General Motors. And this association of experience with experience, of skill with skill, is your guarantee of lasting satisfaction. So when it comes to a new refrigerator for your home, remember this. The first name you think of is the right one to buy. Frigidaire, America's number one refrigerator. As we look in on the little community of Pine Ridge, we find the old fellows in their jot-em-down store. Lum is seated at the checkerboard. Abner's talking on the telephone. Listen.
Prunes? Just a minute, Miss Barton. Hold up on. Lum, have we got any prunes?
Prunes? Just a second here.
You can't move that man there. You're cheating.
I am not.
You're cheating.
I'm playing just like you do.
Oh, so you admit it, huh?
All right, I'll put the checker back if it'll make you happy. There.
Well, that's better. Let's move.
Wait a minute. It's still my turn. Get your lunch hooked off of them checkers.
Excuse me.
There. Now go ahead.
All right, sir.
Prunes, you say?
Yeah. Believe I'll just move that little... Oh, no.
You know, we're right. We oughtn't to be playing checkers during business hours, Abner.
No, we oughtn't. There. Sure move, Lum.
All right. Miss Pomeroy told Miss Blevins that we get so wrapped up in a game, we even forget to answer the phone.
That's ridiculous. Hurry up and move.
Don't rush me.
Morning, Abner.
Hurry up, Mom.
Ain't it a grand morning?
Let's see now.
I say, ain't it a grand morning?
There. Go ahead, Adam.
I want a bucket of lard and two cans of... Say, did you hear me? I want a bucket of lard.
Toby, you got me in a bad spot there, huh?
Say, listen here, you lazy varmint. This is the last time I'm ever going to trade here. And I'll see to it that nobody else trades here, neither. We'll close this junk shop up so tight you couldn't open it up with a crowbar. What do you think of that, Abner Peabody?
Well, morning, Miss Goshen. Nice to see you.
Abner, don't sit there gabbing all day. Move.
Well, I'm going to. There. How do you like that?
Dad, blame it. I was hoping you wouldn't see this.
What can we do for you today, Miss Goshen?
Yeah, I reckon I'll just have to do this.
Now, wait a minute. You can't move, eh? You got to jump.
I do, huh?
Why, sure. Then I'll land in the King Road and you'll have to crown me.
to your pleasure.
Go ahead, Long, move. Oh, God, Shellis. Have I got trouble in the home? Trouble in the H-O-M home.
You gotta do it, Long. There's nothing else you can do.
Oh, that there woman of mine is on the warpath again. She's had me in the doghouse along. I'm starting to chase alley cats. I don't know what to do.
Go ahead and move.
Oh, how can I do that? Just as quick as I get in the house, she locks me in the upstairs bedroom.
There's just one thing to do, jump.
From the upstairs window?
Granny Dent, there must be some other way out.
No, there ain't, Mom.
No, sir. I believe it's worth a broken leg to get away from that there wildcat.
Well, all right. There.
Now watch me. Right into the king roll.
Yeah, but what is she texting me a leaving?
Crown her, boy.
Crown her?
Yeah, that's the time.
Well, by Jimmy Abner, now I'm going to take that there advice if it's the last thing I ever do. And it may be.
Did somebody just go out the door just now?
Yeah. Goodbye, Miss Goshen. I know it did take me a long time, but now I've got me a king.
Yeah. Now you know how Princess Elizabeth feels.
Hey, wait a minute, Mom. That dad blamed Miss Goshen must have left the telephone receiver off the hook.
Let's see here now.
Absent-minded old Betty. Hello. Is anybody still on here? Huh? Just a minute. Mom.
Yeah?
We got any prunes?
Oh, no, Abner. Don't get out that checkerboard today. We're giving that up for good. I just seen Ms. Goshen on my way to work this morning. She claimed she was in here yesterday, and we never even waited on her.
Oh, pretta-pratta. She run out before we ever had a chance to.
Well, morning, Ezra.
Howdy,
fellas,
howdy. Abner, old boy, let me shake your hand.
Yeah, sure. Howdy do. Glad to see you, Ezra. Saw you around here for a month or so.
Month? Well, what about what happened here yesterday?
I'd love to hear about it. Now, what was it?
Oh, don't judge me, Abner. I tell you, that there was the greatest one piece of advice I ever heard. I done just like you told me to do. I walked up to my woman and I says, Carrie, I am a movie. So she locked me in the upstairs bedroom. So I packed my valise and jumped out in the window.
I told you to do that.
For pity's sake, Sandra, what do you go around telling things like that for?
Well, Llama.
Granny, it's a wonder you wasn't killed, Ezra.
Was it? I was lucky. Carrie was down there waiting for me.
Well, what was so lucky about that?
She broke my fall.
Oh.
Well, when she come to, she says, where do you think you're going, Ezra Seastump? And right there is where I carried out the rest of your advice, Abner. I crowned her. This is wanger on the noggin with my valise.
Oh, my goodness, a lot.
And then what happened, Ezra?
This I don't want to hear.
Harry looked up at me and says, Ezra, I never knowed till now you loved me. She called me her big, strong caveman. Then she picked me up and carried me back upstairs. So I tell you, Edna, everything's all right. I'm a happy man again. You don't know what you've done for me.
Don't know. You don't even suspect.
You say I gave you this advice yesterday?
Yes, and since then I told all my friends about you. They've all got troubles and want your advice.
Well, now, wait a minute now, Ezra.
The fact is there's a bunch of them waiting outside to see you now.
Granny, look at that. They're lined up outside the store there like Democrats outside the White House.
Abner, these fellas all need your help. They're all on the verge of becoming mixed up and confused.
Well, they've sure come to the right man, all right. There ain't no human alive can help you get mixed up and confused more than Abner. Granny's Abner, you've got to cut out running this advice bureau. You ain't hit a lick of work around here since you've taken up Beatrice Fairfaxon. Besides, who are you to go around giving advice? What do you know about trouble?
Well, I'm married, ain't I?
I don't see what you're doing this for, no way. You ain't making a cent of money out of it.
Well, I ain't interested in money. I just get so much enjoyment out of my work.
Enjoyment?
Yeah. Tom, you just ought to hear the things that people tell me.
Why, you little gossip, you ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Oh, what I could tell you about some of the folks around this town.
Well, I don't want to hear none of it. I'm above that. There ain't no one thing lower than a person that listens to gossip. What are some of them?
Well, I can't tell you none. But wait a minute, I see one of my clientele's coming up out there. Old Doc Peabody's got to get to work.
Old Doc Peabody? When did that start?
Never mind, I'll be quiet.
Good morning, old Doc Peabody.
Good morning, number 74WK59.
74. Abner, this is Ben Withers.
Mom, please. We never use no names in this business. Come along, 74W.
That's all right. How's everything with you, Mom?
Oh, terrible.
Fine. Now, sit right there, 74.
Thank you.
Now then, 74, just pour out your little heart. Tell me all the spicy herbs. Tell me everything.
What's this girl's name?
What girl?
This girl you mentioned in connection with marriage.
Well, I don't know who she is.
Well, there you are. You don't even know her name. You should at least get acquainted with her first, Abner.
Well, Ben,
maybe you'll find out she's not the right girl for you after all.
But, Ben,
Ben, too, you've been reasonably happy with Elizabeth, haven't you?
Well, yeah, sure I have.
And you've got to think of your daughter, Pearl, too. You don't want her to become a homeless little waif, do you?
No, I sure don't. Bless her heart. Bless her little heart.
All right, then. Go home. Think this over. I'm sure you'll change your mind.
Well, thanks, Ben. Thank you. You just ain't got no idea how much you've helped me. Wait a minute. What am I doing out here? I'm the advisor.
Now, wait, Fulton. Before you tell me about any program ideas, let me remind you the Colossal Broadcasting Company puts on only first-class entertainment.
But, Mr. Fleagerly, this old Doc Peabody is a natural.
Yes.
He's sort of a backwoods philosopher, a rural Solomon. Why, people come to him from miles around for advice. He might be a sensation on the radio.
Well, I hate to spend any more for talent the way prices are going now. I just bought young Dr. Malone for $7 million, and look what happened. Now he's so rich he's given up his practice.
Yes, I know.
Then I bought Smiling Ed McCollum for $9 million, and he's been laughing so hard ever since he can't play.
I know, Mr. Fleagerly, but
then I paid $11 million for John's other wife. Now his first wife is suing us for alimony.
But, Mr. Fleagerly, I'm sure if you played your cards right, you could get this old Doc Peabody for nothing.
Well, why didn't you say so? I'll put a call through to him right away.
Hello, jot him down, store and advice bureau. Old Doc Peabody doing the talking.
Hello, I'm calling from New York.
Hey, Lum, some fellas call me clean from New York.
Oh, sure, sure. Mr. Dewey, no doubt.
Hello.
Tell him it's too late for advice now.
Hello?
Hello? I'm president of the Colossal Broadcasting Company.
Well, sir, my advice to you is don't worry about it. Just recollect, every silver lining has a black cloud around it.
But, Doctor, I don't want advice. I want to put you on the radio.
Huh?
We'll run some lines out to Pine Ridge and broadcast your advice bureau. We'll put you on a coast-to-coast hookup over a long string of states.
I don't get long. They're going to string me up on the long hook.
I knew it'd happen sooner or later. Oh, Abner, hush up your bragging. Granny's ever since you got that long-distance call from that broadcasting outfit, you've been strutting around like a he-turkey in a barnyard. All puffed out and gobbling a lot of stuff that don't make no sense.
Now, looky here, lawmakers. I guess a man of my national standing as a radio talker's got a right.
National standing? Radio talker? I bet you don't even know a microphone from a microbe. Oh, hello, Mr. Niles. It's a relief to see you.
Oh, good evening, Mr. Niles. And how's everything with our good friend from Frigidaire?
Why, fine, fine. Say, what's all this about a microphone? You know, I've always been interested in radio.
Oh, Abner here thinks he's a Gabriel Thomas or a Lowell Heater or something.
Well, just give me a little practice, that's all. Just a little practice.
See, I read a book about radio announcing once. Maybe I can give you some pointers. Huh. Here, I'll use this broom for a microphone. Now, the first thing you have to do is to get your listener's attention. Tell them something exciting or important, like, only the Frigidaire automatic washer gives you live water action. That's the revolutionary new washing and rinsing action that gets clothes and linens really clean. Because it sends cleansing currents of water surging through and through every square inch of fabric. No ordinary agitator to tug and twist at things. Even the most delicate lingerie is washed as gently as though by hand.
But, Mr. Niles, I'm going to be telling people how to handle their problems.
Handling problems? There's no problem to handling clothes. Frigidaire's rapid dry spin gets them so dry they're light and easy to handle. Many things can be ironed right away.
And I'm going to tell them how to have happier homes.
Any home is happier with a Frigidaire automatic washer. There's no heavy wash day work to get a woman all tired out and cross. Why, all you do is put in clothes and soap and touch a dial. That's all.
And I'll advise folks how to keep out of hot water.
A very good point. With a Frigidaire automatic washer, your hands need never be in water. It's that easy to use.
Huh.
There now, Mr. Peabody, does that give you some idea of radio technique?
Yeah, well, I reckon so. It sure does. Only one thing that bothers me now, Mr. Niles.
What's that?
Well, when I get so I can give spiels like that on this Frigidaire show, what are you going to do for a job?
Granny's been. I just don't know what to do with Abner. Ever since them New York fellers come out here to put him on the radio, he's the importance. He can't hardly stand himself. And neither can I.
Why?
And what's worse, neither can his woman, Elizabeth. He's been so busy telling everybody else how to get along with their wife, he don't even know his own wife is flew in the coop.
Why, stars, has Mrs. Peabody left him?
Oh, yeah. She separates him. Her and little Pearl packed up and hopped the milk truck to Hatfield.
Oh, yes. Hatfield. Nice place.
I just feel so sorrowful for poor Elizabeth. I don't know what to do.
Maybe she'll run into Lyle Greenough over there.
Who's he?
Yes. Lyle Greenough moved from Mount Ida to Hatfield in 1932. He got caught in the westbound Labor Day traffic that year and wasn't able to execute a left turn till he got to Hatfield.
Well, Ben...
I've never been there myself.
Ben, how can you be talking about Lyle Greenough when poor Elizabeth's the tore up? I just wish you could hear the letter she wrote me from Hatfield.
Oh, from Hatfield? Did she mention Lyle Greenough?
Ben, she don't even know Lyle Greenough.
Oh, he's easy to recognize. He has a nice mustache. But she dyed gray.
Dyed gray? What color was it before?
Black. He doesn't think the black went well with his hair.
What color was his hair?
Red. What else did she say about Lyle?
She never said nothing about it. Now, Abner had been treating her something awful since she got to be such a big shot. Oh, she ripped him up one side and down the other.
Why?
I'm a good mind to show Abner this letter from his wife. Maybe it'll open a little varmint's eyes, bring him to his senses.
Well, now's a good time to do it. Here comes old Doc Peabody right now.
Yeah, just look at that smirk on his face. Ain't that disgusting?
How? Now, brown cow. How now, brown cow?
What in the world?
How now, brown?
What are you doing, Abner?
He wants the back wood. You know I'm practicing my electrocution. This radio fella from New York listened to me talk, and he thinks before I go on the air, I need to be electrocuted.
Well, I can understand just how he feels, but ain't he a little drastical?
How now, Brian? How now?
Listen, brown cow, here's a letter. Here's a letter I think you ought to read.
Please, not now. I'm a busy man. How now?
Abner, cut that out. This letter is...
I refer to my clientele by case numbers only. Read it to me on my broadcast tonight, and I'll be more than happy to answer it.
You mean you want me to read this letter over the radio where everybody can hear it?
Why, sure.
You're sure now?
I'm positive.
All right, doctor, you asked for it, and I grant you that's just exactly what you're going to get. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight we bring you a special broadcast direct from Pine Ridge, Arkansas, featuring old Doc Peabody, the bucolic counselor of the hills, to whom hundreds are turning for his homespun philosophy and sage guidance. And here he is, old Doc Peabody. And here he is, old Doc Peabody. Doc, we're on the air. Say something.
How now?
Doctor, I believe you have a young man here tonight who's seeking your guidance.
There he is? Oh, you mean Cedric. Yeah, sure, get up here, Cedric.
Yes, Mom, I'm coming.
Careful them microphone wires.
What wires?
Them wires. Just stand up here, Cedric. That's it. All right, Cedric, tell me all about yourself, Cedric, my boy.
Well, my name is Cedric...
No names, please.
Oh, excuse me. I live in Pine Ridge...
No localities, please.
No beans.
No vegetables, please.
Can I sit down now?
No, not yet. Now then, you poor, suffering critter. Tell me what your problem is.
Well, I ain't got no problem.
Oh, you're bound to have sad and unhappy as you are. What caused it, your girl?
I don't think so.
Has she spoke to you since you've seen her last?
Come to think of it, she ain't.
Ain't even telephoned you?
No, Mom.
Oh, that is terrible.
It might be because I ain't got no phone.
That is hardly an excuse. How did the fight start?
Well, we were... That's funny. I don't recollect.
My goodness, you hit him so hard he's got the magnesium.
Mom?
Oh, you poor, deserted, sick, suffering orphan.
Well, I ain't an orphan. I got a mama and a papa.
That's the worst kind. Look at this boy, ladies and gentlemen. Lost his girl. Got no telephone. Mama and papa's both orphans. His health is shot. Got the magnesium.
Oh, I'm a mess.
You sure are.
What am I going to do, Mr. Abbott? What am I going to do?
Yeah. I don't know, Cedric. Just try to work it out for yourself the best way you can. That's my advice to you.
Thank you, Mr. Ackley.
Now, watch out for them wires there. And to each life, a little rain must fall. Next case.
Doctor, I believe you have a few letters to answer. Is that not correct?
Why, yes, I believe that is not correct. Yes. mail boy, would you read the letters to me?
I can't hardly wait.
Have you picked out the prize letter for today?
Oh, brother, have I.
So, we'll save that for the end.
Don't worry, Doc, it will be.
First C, boy?
Well, the first letter is from J.K. He writes, Dear Doc, I am in love with two women. One of them is rich and the other one is pretty. I can't stand to look at the rich one and I can't afford to marry the pretty one. What shall I do?
Law, I don't know. Next.
This is from W.Q. He writes, My happy home ain't what it used to be since my wife started getting highfalutin ideas. Now she objects to cigar smoking in the house. What should I do?
Dear W.Q., tell her to smoke them outdoors. Next.
D.B. writes, Me and a young lady I'm going with have been planning to get married for the last 11 years, but every time we set a date for the wedding, something has prevented it. You think I have a chance for happiness?
Dear W.Q., yes, I think so. You've been awful lucky so far. Next.
Here's the prize letter for today, Doctor. It comes from E.T., and she writes, I am writing this to let you know why I have left... we're not supposed to use names, are we?
No names, please.
He just got so big-headed over this new job of his, I couldn't stand him. Acted like I wasn't good enough for him no more.
Why, that ungrate?
Just had no time for me or his own little daughter.
Oh, that wretch.
He got to staying out till all hours. One night he never come home till 8:30.
Why, that... That hide owl, that snake in the weeds.
For 40 years, I washed his clothes, cooked his meals, cut his hair, half-soled his shoes, ironed his breeches, planted his crops, drove his mules, cleaned his plow. But now that he's got a little success, the little worms forgot all that.
So, I've heard enough. I can answer that right now. Dear E.T., if I was you, I'd take that underhanded, no-count critter you're married to, pick up the heaviest thing you can find, and whop some sense into that numbskull of his.
Is that your advice, Dr. Peabody?
You're dead blame right, that's my advice.
Good, and you'll be happy to know, Doctor, that E.P. stands for Elizabeth Peabody, your wife.
Huh?
All right, Elizabeth, you hear the doctor's advice. Go to it.
Elizabeth, now stay away. Keep back now. I just wait. Let go of me. Elizabeth, put me down. Now, honey, come help me. Help.
Ladies and gentlemen, due to circumstances over which the doctor ain't got no control, this is the last in a new series of broadcasts featuring that homespun philosopher who's just been spun home. Mom and Abner will be back in just a moment, but first, here is an important question. Would you like to have more room to keep perishable foods, even though your kitchen is already overcrowded? Then see the new Frigidaire refrigerators with a special design that gives you far more food storage space in the same kitchen space. And remember, only Frigidaire refrigerators are powered by the Meter-Mizer, the simplest refrigerating mechanism ever built. I'll get it, Abner. Hello? What? No, I'm sorry. Abner ain't in that advising business no more. I know you need advice bad, but he can't help you. Goodbye.
Who was that?
Dr. Gallup.
You're listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web with your host, Justine Ward. Next, we have Lum trying to impress a woman who's new in town with all the famous authors he's acquainted with. The problem is he has to find one to appear at the literary tea. His choice sounds good at first, but it turns out that this Hemingway is a plumber. Enjoy the Lum and Abner Show, Literary Tea, first broadcast April 26, 1950 on CBS.
The Lum and Abner Show. With your old friend Basil Finch, Cliff Arquette, Isabel Randolph, Herb Vigran, music by Opie Cates, and starring Lum and Abner.
Come here, Abner. I need your help.
Again?
Do you know where I can find an author?
An author?
Yeah, a fella that writes books.
Oh!
I've got to dig one up by tonight.
Well, how about Longfellow?
Longfellow?
Yeah, as long as you're going all the bother to dig one up, you might as well pick a good one.
Abner, I ain't got time for no smart remarks.
That dandy, weren't it?
This is important. That new woman in town that's staying over to the boarding house, Miss Lydia Van Cleaver, she wants to meet a big author.
Well, why do you have to find one for her to meet?
Because well, somehow or other, she's got the idea that I'm a personal friend of all the famous authors.
Where did she ever get an idea like that?
From me.
Blom, when are you going to learn to keep your big fat mouth shut?
Well, Admiral, I had to be polite and keep the conversation rolling.
Well, it's all right to keep it rolling. You don't have to pick it up and run clean out of bounds with it.
Anyway, I've got to get hold of some author before the big meeting tonight.
Now, just a minute. Rack them up and break again. What big meeting?
Well, somehow or other, Miss Van Cleaver got the idea that we had a big literary club here in Pine Ridge, and I don't know. She sort of thinks I'm president of it.
You sure had that conversation rolling, didn't you, sonny boy?
Abner, she forced me into saying them things. And now I've got to go through with it.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Now, where in the world do you start looking for an author?
Lom, why don't you give up this silly idea before you get yourself in worse trouble than you are right now?
Abner, I know what I'm doing. This is my big chance to make a hit with Miss Van Cleaver. You see, I found out she's taken up writing.
Well, that's nice. I think everybody ought to learn how to write. Even her age. Nice to know how to print your name and stuff like that. You know?
No, I mean, she's taken up writing books and poems and all that literary junk.
Oh?
And the reason she's in Pine Ridge is because she's here getting color.
What color she want to get?
I mean, she's trying to get herself a wider background.
Well, I'd say she's got a fairly good start.
Anyway, all I have to do now is convince her that I'm a big literary man myself. Who knows? Maybe someday me and her... Well, you know what happened to Robert and Elizabeth Browning.
No. What happened? I ain't had a chance to read a paper all day.
Well, I mean, they was both literaries, poets. They worked together and developed a beautiful friendship.
Well...
And then they got married.
Ruined the whole thing, huh?
No, of course not. I can see you're going to be a shining light at the literary club meeting tonight.
Me? Now, wait a minute. I ain't going to that thing, Lom. I wouldn't know what to do at it.
Abner, all you got to do is just sit there and discuss famous books and writers.
I don't know none of that junk.
Yes, you do. You've heard of David Copperfield, ain't you?
Oh, yeah, sure. Well, I've heard of him. I can't recollect what he wrote, though.
Such ignorance. He wrote Dickens' Christmas Carol.
Well, I ought to know that. What is the matter with me, anyway?
I think what you better do is get all the classics and read up on them twixt now and tonight.
All right.
In the meantime, I'll track down an author. What I'd like to get is some famous writer like Ernest Hemingway or George Bernard Shaw or Gypsy Rose Lee.
Say, Lom, how many of them classics is it?
Oh, I think there must be six or seven of them.
Seven?
Yeah.
Well, I know I can't read more than five of them by tonight. But don't you worry, old boy. I'll bluff my way through the other two.
Good. Well, howdy, Opie.
Hello.
Tell me, Opie, when you lived in Clinton, did you know any writers over there?
Writers? You don't mean the Ritters, do you? Lyle and Clyde Ritter?
Oh. No, not Ritter, writer.
No, Lum, they pronounced it Ritter. How'd you happen to know them?
Look, Opie, I'm talking about fellers that write books.
Oh, no, you're all mixed up, Lum. Lyle is a J.C. Penney man, and Clyde is a one-man band.
Well, that's nice, but what I'm...
Well, actually, Clyde ain't a one-man band no more. He had to give it up on account of union trouble.
Well, that is a shame. But what I'm...
You see, Clyde played the harmonica, concertina, tambourine, triangle, woodblocks, and both sides of the bass drum.
Sounds uncommonly tough.
But when he got into Missouri, the Kansas City local, they insisted that he put in two fiddles.
Look, Opie, I'm sorry Clyde's got troubles, but I've got troubles, too. So I wish you'd run along now, because I've got to make some more phone calls.
Oh, yes, sir.
Let's see. Believe I'll try Earl Pomeroy. He might know some offer I could get. I know his uncle's a member of the Book of the Month Club. Oh, hello, Earl. This is Lum. I was wondering if you was personal acquainted with any authors.
Clyde nagged one of the Bidball sisters.
Just a minute, Earl. Dad, blame it, Opie. I can't hear nothing. Go back in the feed room. Abner's back there reading some literary books. Get him to read them out loud to you, and then you can come to the literary club meeting tonight, too.
All right, I'll do that.
Now, what did you say, Earl?
Oh, say, Lum.
Wait, Earl. What is it, Opie?
The next time I write to Clyde, I'll tell him you asked about it.
Yeah, do that by all means. Now, just go through that door there and listen to Abner read high-class literature.
Yes, sir. Oh, see, Ned. Ned throws the ball to Tom. Tom throws the ball to Ned. Will Ned catch the ball? Oh, see the dog. Ned missed it, huh? Doggies, I've never seen you standing there, Opie. Well, Lum told me to come in here and have you literary me up for that club. Oh, he did, huh? All right, doggies, Opie, I'm getting sick and tired of that dad-blamed Lum trying to run everybody's lives. That farmer asked me to do one more thing for him. I'm going to take that baseball bat.
Hey, Abner. I can't get Cliff Arquette on the phone. I wish you'd run over to his place and ask him if he can get me a book writer, Summer.
Now, listen here, Lum Adder.
And hurry up.
Yes, sir. Abner, you was going to take the baseball bat and what? And knock the ball to Ned. I'll see you later.
Yo, come in, Abner.
Yeah, howdy, Cliff. Say, Lum wants to know if you know where he...
Abner, I just leave. He didn't bother me right now.
For the land's sakes, what's the matter with you, Cliff?
Oh, it ain't me. It's that poor old C.L. Potter.
Who's C.L. Potter?
I don't know.
Ah.
Look, here's his picture in the paper. Oh, I tell you, Abner, there's the face of a man that suffered.
Well, Cliff, this is just an advertisement for some kind of nerve pill.
Abner, a man can suffer just as good in an advertisement as anywhere. Now, go ahead and read it. I just want you to see what's going on in this troubled world of ours.
All right. C.L. Potter of 231 6th Street, Cedar Rapids, Iowa, writes. Well, everybody's picking that up now. First, Miss Van Cleaver, now Mr. Potter.
Go on, Abner.
I suffered with insomnia and could not get any sleep for 8 months.
Bad enough having insomnia, but this kid couldn't get any sleep on top of it.
I became run down and so irritable that I lost all my friends.
Oh, that poor varmint. He's got no friends. He's all alone in Cedar Rapids, Iowa yet.
I got behind in my work at the office and was fired. Oh, Miss Cliff, this is sad.
I can hardly stand it.
I could not pay my bills. And they shut off the gas and water.
Mm.
Oh, that poor farmer. Bless his heart. Bless his heart.
Go on, Abner. You ain't got to the saddest part yet.
Then I heard about Dr. Vanker's new quick-action polarized nerve pills. And I immediately purchased the large economy-sized container.
Yeah, that's it. That's the sad part.
Well, Cliff, he's got all them pills now. He's going to be all right.
No, he ain't. They shut off the water at his place, and without water, how's he going to swallow the pills?
Yeah, they turned off the gas, too. Poor critter can't even commit suicide.
No, I tell you, Abner, that is the saddest... Wait, I believe that was my ring.
Yeah, better not answer it. More likely just more bad news. Hello.
Hello, Cliff. This is Lum. Did Abner ask you about getting me an author?
Get you what? Can't hardly hear you.
Author.
Arthur who?
I mean, do you know anybody like Hemingway?
Oh, sure. I know Hemingway good. He's up at the county seat now.
He is?
Yeah.
Granny, Cliff, you don't reckon you could get him to come to Pine Ridge to meet Miss Van Cleaver tonight, do you?
Well, sure, I'll be glad to.
Oh, that's wonderful, Cliff. Get on it right away.
All right, Lum. Now, what do you suppose Lum wants Miss Van Cleaver to meet him for?
Who?
Joe Hemingway, the new plumber at the county seat.
Now here's Opie Case, his clarinet and his orchestra, and the Muskrat Ramble.
Look, Abner, it's 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
The guests will be arriving any minute now. Is everything all set? Got the refreshments?
Yeah.
I hope you got something that'll appeal to a high-class name like Lydia Van Cleaver.
Oh, yeah.
I think she's a Britishman.
She is? Well, I got just the thing, you know. We're going to have crumpets and meatballs.
Good. Let's see now. Did you get a bunch of books to strew around the room, make it look like we're heavy readers?
Well, I rounded up all I could get. I got Lorne of Doone and the 1934 Almanac and Gilbert the Boy Trapper.
That's right.
Love Twixt Golden Strands, Murphy Seed Catalog, Animal Heroes Every Boy Should Know, and Banjo Playing Made Easy.
That ought to give Miss Van Cleaver a rough idea of what kind of brains we got around this town.
Oh, that'll store, boy.
Granny, you all bound you, that's her.
Yeah, more like it. Straight
come in.
Thank you.
Oh, you missed this.
Yes, I'm back with the County Home Economics Bureau. And
well,
I
ain't got time for no homemaker's demonstration.
Are you bothered by pests?
Yes, I sure am. Goodbye, Miss Pitt.
The county has developed a new low-cost gopher biscuit.
Well, the gophers are just going to have to get along on what they can find around the place. I ain't going to buy no special biscuits for them.
Well, the county has also developed a new pest control spray, which is effective on moths, silverfish, slugs, bugs, and relatives. Oh, no, I mean, and related insects.
Is there a difference?
You might have something there, kiddo.
Look, Miss Pitts, I'm expecting a lot of literary people here tonight.
The county has authorized me to give you a free demonstration. I will now spray your cupboards and closets.
No, not tonight, you won't.
First, we take the spray gun thus and hold this end up. So, oh, no, we hold this end up. Oh, dear, I never know which end is up.
Well, I don't know which end is up, but I know which way is out, right through this door. Good night.
Bought some of them gopher biscuits. I might have liked them, Mom.
Talk about needing pest control. Dad, blame it. Why don't she stay away? No, I don't want no gopher biscuits.
Well, I don't care a whole lot for them myself.
Oh, it's you, Opie. I thought you was Miss Pitt.
Well, thank you.
You didn't see Miss Van Cleaver on your way over here, did you?
No, but I saw Cliff Arquette heading over this way with some stranger.
Granny, that must be Hemingway. Cliff must have got my author all right, Abner. Oh, what a night this is going to be.
Author? Long, this Hemingway you're getting is...
Just imagine what a literary engagement this will be.
Engagement?
Lydia Van Cleaver, Hemingway, and me.
Well, congratulations, Long. I hope you three will be very happy.
I just hope that nobody throws a wrench into the works tonight.
You better keep an eye on that Hemingway, then.
Ready? There they are. Come in.
Good evening, Lum. I want you fellas to meet my friend here.
Yeah, sure. Bring him right in.
Lum, shake hands with Mr. Hemingway.
Mr. Hemingway, it is with deep respect and great humiliation that I welcome such a renowned and notorious celebrity into my humble but literary home.
Likewise, I am sure.
Long, this fellow...
Hey, shut up, Abner. Yes, sir, Mr. Hemingway, we all admired your work something wonderful.
Gee, thanks. It's all guaranteed, too.
What are you working on right now, Mr. Hemingway?
Well, I'm real glad you asked that. It's quite an interesting problem. Now try to visualize this picture. Here's this little cottage. Just the ordinary place, see?
Uh-huh.
Now, the bathtub is in the front part of the house, and the hot water boiler is in the kitchen.
I like the way you get that realism into your work.
Thank you. Now, this little family is sitting in the dining room eating supper when the boiler explodes and blows them right out of the house.
Yeah, that's an exciting beginning, I'll say that. Who's the leading character?
Oh, the old man. He was blew a good block and a half further than the rest of them. Now then, my problem...
Now, wait, was now, don't tell anymore. Wait till Miss Van Cleaver gets here. I want her to hear this.
Lom,
hush up, Abner. Yes, sir, Mr. Hemingway, you're going to enjoy meeting Miss Van Cleaver. You know, she's just starting out in the business, and maybe you can give her some good pointers.
Well, I shall be happy indeed to do all that I can. It ain't often you run into a lady plumber.
No, it ain't. You see, she... Lady plumber?
Yeah, if she gets good enough, maybe I can throw some business her way. I got more plumbing jobs than I can handle.
Wait a minute. What's this about plumbing jobs?
Yeah, and I'm mighty glad for this opportunity to come to this meeting tonight and make some new contacts. Here's a stack of me cards. Maybe it'll pass them around a little. Joe Hemingway, scientific plumber. Day or night call.
Oh, my goodness, this is terrible, Abner. Call up Miss Van Cleaver and tell her the meeting's all.
Well, Lum, I don't... Oh, wait, Miss, too late. There she is.
Oh,
right
me, this will wash me up with her for good. Look, fellas, all we can do now is just try to bluff it through and keep Hemingway quiet. Yeah, come in. Good evening, Miss Van Cleaver.
Well, how do you do? I'm sorry I'm late, but there was some trouble with the hot water pipes at the boarding house. And
oh,
I
the hot...
Me.
Oh, well, say, I'll just go run over
yeah,
there right
sure,
now.
Fine, yeah. Now, let's get the meeting started, shall we?
Oh, but Mr. Edwards, I haven't met your guest, Mr. Hemingway.
Yeah. Miss Van Cleaver, Mr. Hemingway. Now then, we'll
oh,
get...
Oh, I'm so thrilled to meet you, Mr. Hemingway.
Likewise, I am sure. Are you local here?
Oh, good gracious, no. I'm from London. Ohio.
Well, come on, let's get the...
What are you working on currently, Mr. Hemingway?
Oh, well, I'm real glad you asked that. I'm currently...
Thank you, Mr. Hemingway. All right, now, let's all take our places now. Miss Van Cleaver, you sit here.
Oh, all right, thank you.
And Mr. Hemingway, you sit clean to the back of the room. No, farther back, Mr. Hemingway.
But I can't hear nothing from here.
Good. I hope it works both ways.
Yeah, me too.
All right, fellow members, let's all simmer down now.
Hey, Mom, just a minute. You want me to serve the crumpets and meatballs now?
No.
They're ready.
I know. I'll let you know.
Oh, good. I can't wait to try them.
Fellow members, the 242nd meeting of the Pine Ridge Literary Club will now come to order and carry on our goal of striving for a higher type of ignorance amongst Pine Ridge.
Amen.
We will disperse with the reading of the minutes of the last meeting, inasmuch as we never had one, and get right into a good red-hot discussion.
Long. The meatballs are getting cold.
Our subject for tonight is the high-class writing of Chaucer. By the way, Miss Van Cleaver, if you want to enter into the discussion, just bust right in.
Oh, well, thank you. But if you don't mind, I'd rather just observe.
Well, suit yourself. You can learn something.
Yeah, this is what I mean.
Fellow members, now here's a little background material I looked up on Mr. Chaucer. Got it wrote down here. He was born in 1340 and passed on to his reward in 1400.
What a good time.
He wrote several high-class books. There, now, who would like to lead off the discussion on his writing? Just anybody that wants to can go ahead and start. Anybody?
Well, yes, I would like to say
thank
that
you,
I...
Mr. Hemingway. Anybody else? Well, I'll get this thing rolling by throwing a controversial question at you. How do you fellas feel about Chaucer's writing? Well, here, I'll put the question another way. How do you feel about writing in general?
Oh, it's all right, I reckon. It's okay here. I think it's a pretty good idea.
Does anybody wish to add anything to that?
Yeah, I would like to say...
Thank you, Mr. Hemingway. Now, is there any questions about what we've covered so far?
Well, yeah, I got a question.
Ah, good. Now we're getting warmed up. What is your question, Mr. Cage?
What's a Chaucer? What you pour your coffee in to cool it?
It is not.
It's not one of them flying Chaucers, is it?
Chaucer's the feller we've been discussing for the last hour. He writes books.
Oh. Abner, where's the meatball?
Why, they're right back here.
Now then, is there any other question?
Well, yeah, I got another.
Well, good, Mr. Keats.
Is he the same feller that wrote that book about Ned throwing the ball to Tom?
I don't believe he is.
If you'll pardon me for butting in, I can answer that one. He ain't.
Oh, well, thank you for your contribution, Miss Van Cleaver. I believe that clears up that rather moose point. Now then, let's move on to Shakespeare.
I ain't moving no place till we eat them meatballs.
Hey, now wait just a minute. I'd like like to say something about Chaucer?
Thank you. That's very interesting.
Now, wait a minute. You listen here. I was invited to this discussion meeting, and I got a right to discuss.
Yes. And if you'll pardon me for butting in again, I would love to hear what Mr. Hemingway has to say on the subject.
So would I.
Well, it seems rather a shame to have such a distinguished guest and not let him speak.
Well, you see, Miss Van Cleaver, what's the use? Go ahead, Mr. Hemingway.
Thank you.
Hold on.
In rereading Chaucer's Canterbury Tales the other night, I come to the conclusion that his powers of characterization and humor and his perfect realization of the atmosphere of medieval England produced a certain charm and color never since equaled.
Huh?
Now, in my latest book, I have also tried to attain...
Wait a minute. Did you say your latest book?
Yeah, it'll be off the presses in about a month. I shall send you the autographed copy. I shall also send one to you, Mademoiselle Van Meet Claver.
Thank you. But you've already given me something more wonderful, Mr. Hemingway. Just meeting you has inspired me to write. In fact, I think I shall run back to my room right now and dash off a sonnet while I'm still under this magic spell.
Ain't you going to wait for the meatball?
Thank you, no. And Mr. Edwards, thank you so much for this charming, electrifying evening.
Oh, we have them like this every week.
Oh, well, thank you again, and good night, all.
Yeah, good night, Mr. Hemingway.
Grannies, Mr. Hemingway, let me shake your hand. You don't know it, but you sure saved the day for me.
Oh, I don't think nothing of it.
I never had no idea you had actually wrote a book.
Doggies, me neither. You know, I'd love to have a copy of that myself, Mr. Hemingway. What's the name of it?
Well, it's the 1950 Revised Plumber's Manual.
Lum and Abner will be back in a moment. It's music, music, music on CBS Sunday afternoons. And starting this Sunday, two new music programs make Sunday listening an even greater pleasure on CBS. The Main Street Music Hall returns with the day's top songs sung by Bill Tabbitt of South Pacific fame with Alfredo Antonini's 35-piece orchestra. Also starting this Sunday, Your Invitation to Music will bring you recordings of great singers and great conductors, plus interviews with some of them. This music, music, music will be yours on most of these same CBS stations. Be listening this Sunday afternoon.
Grannies, I can't seem to get interested in this plumber's manual.
It never turned out very good.
I don't care if it is autographed. It just ain't interesting. Where's that other book I was reading?
This one?
Yeah, let's see. Where was I? Oh, yeah, right there. Yeah. Tom throws the ball to Ned. Will Ned catch the ball? Oh, see the dog.
Dog is that Ned missed it again.
Abner's show is written by Roz Rogers and Betty Boyle, directed by Larry Burns, with the music of Opie Tate. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Lum and Abner's last show for the season. We'd like to thank you very much for being with us. Have a good summer. We'll see you next fall. This is Wendell Niles saying good night. The CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
You have been listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web. You can subscribe at no charge through Apple Podcasts, Podbean, or RSS. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you can join us again next week for another hour of entertainment from the golden age of radio. Until then, this is your host, Justine Ward, saying, so long for a while.